For those of you who watch my channel, you will remember that I recently did a video discussing the Netflix show Caliphate. Well, today I wanted to discuss the real Caliphate. I wanted to discuss an episode from Sam Harris's podcast. The title of this episode is What the Jihadis Really Want. And yes, some of you love Sam Harris, and some of you can't stand him and describe him as a lefty, and that is true. But although I disagree with many aspects of his world's view, he isn't a cultural relativist. He isn't an extremist. Although he does seem to lean exclusively on emotional arguments when discussing President Donald Trump, but that is another issue. In the episode in question, Sam Harris reads from the now defunct Dabiq magazine, number 15. He reads and analyzes a letter from an actual ISIS jihadi who is fighting in the caliphate, killing American as well as Eastern soldiers. These are the very people who burn Yazidi women alive. As Sam Harris explains, these people are highly educated, they are articulate, and they are not mentally ill. They have been brainwashed into an ideology that they believe in, which is far more dangerous than someone who is merely mentally ill. The letter addresses the fundamental concerns of these people and others who follow extremist ideology. So this article, Dabiq number 15, which Sam Harris is reading from, it explains in detail why the radicals accept and believe their ideology, what they say about themselves, and how in their minds they can rationalize and justify many of the actions that they perform, which are confusing to normal folk. Like destroying ancient monuments, suicide bombings, beheadings, all kinds of violent acts. This is hard for Westerners to understand, especially those Westerners who keep insisting that the people in the Middle East are liberal just like them. I come from this part of the world. And there are many women who follow my work and email me constantly how petrified they are that Westerners are so close-minded that they are unable to grasp that people in the Middle East are not like them. They do not think like them. They are deeply religious and have a very different worldview. As we see in the piece in Dabiq magazine, people who grew up in Western societies like Finland or Sweden, for example, can also be brainwashed into accepting a toxic collectivist worldview. This is why publications like Dabiq magazine exists. It's a method of recruiting jihadis that are foreign globally, and brainwashing them into believing that if they want real power, that if they feel lost and that they are struggling, Allah will grant them all the power they ever dreamed of. To them, everything in this world is proof that Allah exists and that He created everything. And it is that very principle that they are brainwashed into believing will give them power. In this episode is a shocking interview with a young Finnish woman who converted to Islam and then moved over to the Caliphate, where she wrote about the death, or I guess the martyrdom, of her very young child, happily. This actually reminded me of my early years here in Canada, after I escaped Saudi Arabia and I began writing and documenting my blog. One of my few subscribers at that time was an American woman who was living in Bahrain. She had converted to Islam and married a Muslim man. She was going back and forth with me like a good brainwashed wife. telling me how difficult she was finding it that her new husband of under a year has already started looking for wife number two, and that she was really struggling and fighting her demons. She would tell me that she's like fighting her internal jihad, she would say to me. She would say that I am praying to Allah so that I don't feel this jealousy and that I am a good Muslim sister. It was as if she had never had Western values. It's almost as if her new found ideology had created some sort of override process into her brain. The Finnish woman who's interviewed in Dabiq magazine correctly describes the method of Islamic conquest as she used the term hijra. Hijra is the Arabic word for the word migration. The word migration is very specifically intertwined with Islamic conquests historically.
Think of everything you don't want and everything you want to avoid. You probably care about your career or your children's education. You don't want too many pesticides in your food. You want political stability in your society. You'd like your favorite museums or movie theaters or restaurants not to close for lack of funds. You probably want to get in shape or stay in shape. You certainly don't want to get cancer from something that a nearby chemical plant has released into your groundwater. Think of all the ways you can lose. And now imagine that you have a belief system that nullifies all of that. Oh, my son died? Good. What a relief. Now he's safely in paradise, and I hope to be there soon myself. If you don't understand the power of that, you have no idea what we're dealing with. And you lack empathy. You haven't been able to get into these people's heads because you are stuck in your own. And they have made it so easy for you to get into their heads. In fact, you have to make every effort to stay out. You have to imagine that they are lying, endlessly lying, for some inexplicable reason, when taking their claims at face value makes perfect sense of their behavior, and when imputing other motives to them makes their behavior entirely mysterious. So just listen. Do your best for the next few minutes to see the world through their eyes. Why we hate you and why we fight you. Shortly following the blessed attack on a sodomite crusader nightclub by the Mujahid Omar Mateen, American politicians were quick to jump into the spotlight and denounce the shooting, declaring it a hate crime, an act of terrorism, and an act of senseless violence. A hate crime? Yes. Muslims undoubtedly hate liberalist sodomites, as does anyone else with any shred of their fitra. Fitra is human nature that recognizes good and evil. As does anyone else with any shred of their fitra still intact. An act of terrorism? Most definitely. Muslims have been commanded to terrorize the disbelieving enemies of Allah. But an act of senseless violence? One would think that the average Westerner by now would have abandoned the tired claim that the actions of the Mujahideen, who have repeatedly stated their goals, intentions, and motivations, don't make any sense. Unless you truly and naively believe that the crimes of the West against Islam and the Muslims, whether insulting the Prophet, burning the Quran, or waging war against the Caliphate, won't prompt brutal retaliation from the Mujahideen, you know full well that the likes of the attacks carried out by Omar Mateen, LaRosie Abala, and many others before and after them in revenge for Islam and the Muslims make complete sense. The only thing senseless would be for there to be no violent, fierce retaliation in the first place. Notice the order of their grievances: insulting the Prophet, burning the Quran, or waging war against the Caliphate. These people don't have ordinary political concerns about the Palestinians or anyone else. This will become even clearer by the end of the article. Back to the text. Many Westerners, however, are already aware that claiming the attacks of the Mujahideen to be senseless and questioning incessantly as to why we hate the West and why we fight them is nothing more than a political act and a propaganda tool. The politicians will say it regardless of how much it stands in opposition to facts and common sense, just to garner as many votes as they can for the next election cycle. The analysts and journalists will say it in order to keep themselves from becoming a target for saying something that the masses deem to be, quote, politically incorrect. The apostate imams in the West will adhere to the same tired cliché in order to avoid a backlash from the disbelieving societies in which they've chosen to reside. The point is, people know that it's foolish, but they keep repeating it regardless because they're afraid of the consequences of deviating from the script. There are exceptions among the disbelievers, no doubt, people who will unabashedly declare the jihad and the laws of Sharia, as well as everything else deemed taboo by the Islam as a peaceful religion crowd, are in fact completely Islamic. But they tend to be people with far less credibility, who are painted as a social fringe. So their voices are dismissed, and a large segment of the ignorant masses continues believing the false narrative. As such, it becomes important for us to clarify to the West, in unequivocal terms, yet again, why we hate you and why we fight you. 1. We hate you, first and foremost, because you are disbelievers. You reject the oneness of Allah, whether you realize it or not, by making partners for him in worship. You blaspheme against him, claiming that he has a son. You fabricate lies against his prophets and messengers, and you indulge in all manner of devilish practices. It is for this reason that we were commanded to openly declare our hatred for you and our enmity towards you. Quote, there has already been for you an excellent example in Abraham and those with him, when they said to their people, indeed, we are disassociated from you and from whatever you worship other than Allah. We have rejected you, and there has arisen between us and you enmity and hatred forever until you believe in Allah alone. End quote. Furthermore, just as your disbelief is the primary reason we hate you, your disbelief is the primary reason we fight you, as we have been commanded to fight the disbelievers until they submit to the authority of Islam, either by becoming Muslims or by paying the jizya for those afforded this option, and living in humiliation under the rule of the Muslims. And for those who don't know, the jizya is a protection tax that Jews and Christians, the people of the book, can pay to live as Jews or Christians under the boot of their Muslim overlords. Thus, even if you were to stop fighting us, your best case scenario in a state of war would be that we would suspend our attacks against you if we deemed it necessary in order to focus on the closer and more immediate threats before eventually resuming our campaigns against you. Apart from the option of a temporary truce, this is the only likely scenario that would bring you fleeting respite from our attacks. So in the end, you cannot bring an indefinite halt to our war against you. At most, you could only delay it temporarily. Quote, and fight them until there is no fitna, paganism, and until the religion, all of it, is for Allah. End quote. 2. We hate you because your secular liberal societies permit the very things that Allah has prohibited, while banning many of the things he has permitted, a matter that doesn't concern you because you separate religion and state, thereby granting supreme authority to your whims and desires via the legislators you vote into power. In doing so, you desire to rob Allah of his right to be obeyed, and you wish to usurp that right for yourselves. Quote, legislation is not but for Allah, end quote. Your secular liberalism has led you to tolerate and even support, quote, gay rights, to allow alcohol, drugs, fornication, gambling, and usury to become widespread, and to encourage the people to mock those who denounce these filthy sins and vices. As such, we wage war against you to stop you from spreading your disbelief and debauchery, your secularism and nationalism, your perverted liberal values, your Christianity and atheism, and all the depravity and corruption they entail. You've made it your mission to, quote, liberate Muslim societies. We've made it our mission to fight off your influence and protect mankind from your misguided concepts and your deviant way of life. 3. In the case of the atheist fringe, we hate you and wage war against you because you disbelieve in the existence of your Lord and Creator. You witness the extraordinarily complex makeup of created beings and the astonishing and inexplicably precise physical laws that govern the entire universe, but insist that they all came about through randomness, and that one should be faulted, mocked, and ostracized for recognizing that the astonishing signs we witness day after day are the creation of the wise and all-knowing Creator, and not the result of accidental occurrence. Quote, "Or were they created by nothing? Or were they creators of themselves?" End quote. Your disbelief in your Creator further leads you to deny the Day of Judgment, claiming that, quote, "you only live once." Quote, "Those who disbelieve have claimed that they will never be resurrected. Say, yes, by my Lord, you will surely be resurrected, and then you will surely be informed of what you did, and that, for Allah, is easy." End quote. 4. We hate you for your crimes against Islam and wage war against you to punish you for your transgressions against our religion. As long as your subjects continue to mock our faith, insult the prophets of Allah, including Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, burn the Quran, and openly vilify the laws of the Sharia, we will continue to retaliate, not with slogans and placards, but with bullets and knives. 5. We hate you for your crimes against the Muslims. Your drones and fighter jets bomb, kill, and maim our people around the world, and your puppets in the usurped lands of the Muslims oppress, torture, and wage war against anyone who calls to the truth. As such, we fight you to stop you from killing our men, women, and children, to liberate those of them who you imprison and torture, and to take revenge for the countless Muslims who have suffered as a result of your deeds. 6. We hate you for invading our lands and fight you to repel you and drive you out. As long as there is an inch of territory left for us to reclaim, jihad will continue to be a personal obligation on every single Muslim. Now, lest wishful thinking obscurantists and the usual pseudo-journalist masochists mistake those last two reasons for rational political objectives, the authors of this essay quickly close that door. So listen closely to this. What's important to understand here is that although some might argue that your foreign policies are the extent of what drives our hatred, this particular reason for hating you is secondary, hence the reason we addressed it at the end of the above list. The fact is, even if you were to stop bombing us, imprisoning us, torturing us, vilifying us, and usurping our lands, we would continue to hate you, because our primary reason for hating you will not cease to exist until you embrace Islam. Even if you were to pay the jizya and live under the authority of Islam in humiliation, we would continue to hate you. No doubt we would stop fighting you then, as we would stop fighting any disbelievers who entered into a covenant with us. But we would not stop hating you. What's equally, if not more important, to understand is that we fight you not simply to punish and deter you, but to bring you true freedom in this life and salvation in the hereafter, freedom from being enslaved to your whims and desires, as well as those of your clergy and legislatures, and salvation by worshiping your Creator alone and following His messenger. We fight you in order to bring you out of the darkness of disbelief and into the light of Islam, and to liberate you from the constraints of living for the sake of worldly life alone, so that you may enjoy both the blessings of worldly life and the bliss of the hereafter. The gist of the matter is that there is indeed a rhyme to our terrorism, warfare, ruthlessness, and brutality. As much as some liberal journalists would like you to believe that we do what we do because we're simply monsters, with no logic behind our course of action, the fact is that we continue to wage and escalate a calculated war that the West thought it had ended several years ago. We continue dragging you further and further into a swamp you thought you'd already escaped, only to realize that you're stuck even deeper within its murky waters. And we do so while offering you a way out on our terms. So you can continue to believe that those, quote, "despicable terrorists" hate you because of your lattes and your Timberlands and continue spending ridiculous amounts of money to try to prevail in your unwinnable war. Or you can accept reality and recognize that we will never stop hating you until you embrace Islam, and will never stop fighting you until you're ready to leave the swamp of warfare and terrorism through the exits we provide, the very exits put forth by our Lord for the people of the Scripture, Islam, jizya, or as a last means of fleeting respite, a temporary truce. End quote. Now, I think it really is difficult for many of you to appreciate how attractive this message is for those who are susceptible to it. It really is the total package, especially for men. As we've seen, even women can be recruited to this cause. But the attraction for men, or a certain type of man, is much easier to see. This worldview has everything, from the pleasure of contemplating the beauty of the universe, to the brotherhood of fighting alongside one's fellow soldiers for a just cause, to the illicit thrill of being in the mob and not having to take shit from anyone, to the joy of being able to endlessly split hairs with your fellow amateur theologians. It's like you're a spiritual James Bond. It's like you get to be a Navy SEAL and a priest. You get to worry, really worry, about how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, and you get to carry an AK-47 and use it to your heart's content, fully convinced that the creator of the universe wants you to do it. So you get to be a total badass and feel spiritually pure at the same time. Did you ever know anyone who got really into yoga? They just got obsessed with it, like it was the answer to all their problems. And they got into the subtleties of it. They were really thinking about their chakras opening, you know, the energy centers in the body. And they spent a lot of time adjusting their diets, eating only pure foods, because their bodies were now these instruments of spiritual realization. They just had to be tuned perfectly. So picture that level of infatuation. Imagine a man who's just totally into yoga, and he's convinced that he's found this ancient path to wellness and enlightenment. But then he discovers another aspect to it, just as true. In addition to all the purity and subtlety and the refinement of his understanding of the body, just the preciousness of that whole enterprise, he learns that he gets to kill the bad guys. He's not some pussy in a leotard. He's a yoga assassin. He gets to kick ass. He's in the mob. There's actually one testimonial in this issue of Dabiq from a convert from Trinidad who said that his family back home, when they get any hostility from anyone, they say, "You better watch out. We have a son in ISIS," right? And that gives them street cred. So he's a wise guy now, right? He's a made man. And he protects his family from afar merely by the power of his reputation for violence. That's part of the attraction. And then there's the problem of women, right? So imagine being a guy who's grown up in isolation from women or never felt confident with them. So he's either in a traditional Muslim context where contact with the opposite sex is highly circumscribed, or he's just someone who felt isolated socially by a lack of confidence and a fear of rejection. Picture a young man who has spent his entire life being the least confident guy in the bar, but now he's been recruited into a cult that gives him a new understanding. Okay, all those hot chicks who he was worried about rejecting him, well, now they're his slaves. Whether they're his wife or wives, he actually can have more than one, or his actual sex slaves. He rules. He is to be feared and obeyed. So he might have been bored with his life before, and he might have seemed destined for a life of boredom. But now his life has suddenly become this massive first-person shooter game where he's been inducted into a fraternity of tough guys and given absolute dominion over women. Picture the emotional attraction of that to a certain type of man. And then add the intellectual or pseudo-intellectual component to it. So whatever his actual intellectual accomplishments. At the level of his mind now, he's suddenly a philosopher and a scientist and a priest all rolled into one. Because God has simply given him the truth about the cosmos in the Quran. And this is a truth about which every infidel in history, including Einstein and Darwin and Richard Feynman, was ignorant. And they will pay for their ignorance in fire for eternity. But our hero has escaped their errors and their arrogance. Okay, so he's better than a genius without doing any real work. His humility has made him better than everyone. Right? This is the biggest humble brag in human history. I'm just a lowly worm, but I'm better than you. And I'm sure as hell better than an infidel like Stephen Hawking. So imagine a person's estimation of himself being exalted by all this. That's what we're dealing with.
Harris really does a good job in capturing the darkness the death fetish Islam instills in its most loyal adherents. Death, murder, fighting, invasion, and rape. All these things become glorified and sought after if done in the name of Allah. Because when done in the name of Allah, you have immediate access to the gates of heaven, their goal. To understand the mindset of a jihadi, you have to understand that they do not value this current life or this existence the way you and I do. And this is why it is so easy for them to fly planes that are carrying hundreds of innocent people into buildings or blow themselves up in the middle of a crowd. These are the fundamental teachings of Islam. And the more pain and suffering they experience during this life, the better it is for them in the afterlife. As such, they stack all of their cards towards the afterlife. This ideological subversion is what causes what would have been a previously completely normal and sane human being to be happy and express joy upon learning of the death of their very young child, instead of being sad or outraged. The value system that is taught is very messed up, and it is completely reversed. And it is essentially the antithesis to Western values. This is also the same phenomena that results in young people cheering for the destruction of Western society as they tear down statues of historical figures. And they have this delusional fantasy that communism and Islam are tolerant and inclusive. Are you now beginning to understand where the origins of the current mob are from? How many of you have looked into the relationship between Black Lives Matter and Islamists? You know that hero, Colin Kaepernick that keeps taking a knee every time he's on camera? Did you notice that he started dating an Islamist supporter from the Nation of Islam? Do you think that it is just a coincidence that he is now attacking America and the West? I learned all this in school, as a child, in the Middle East. We all learned it. My brothers and sisters were all indoctrinated with this hate from when we were very little. The difference now is that your children are learning this in your schools in the West. They are being radicalized right here. The supremacy in Islamic teachings is instilled in its subjects by repeatedly enforcing that Allah comes before everything and anything, before anyone and everyone, sometimes requiring punishment to reinforce. Harris also points out quite well in his podcast what might have caused the current dilemma we are experiencing in Western societies who simply do not get the internal mind workings of Islamic jihadists and what makes them tick, but instead not only view them as ordinary people, but end up befriending them and giving them much access to equal opportunity to enter the political spectrum and begin controlling or altering the machinery of Western societies. The Civil West has created weak leaders who lack the knowledge depth, are too politically correct, and too corrupt to see the festering problems that come with the dealings that associate with those from this part of the world who carry this twisted logic and ideology. The podcast also brings to light the fact that in the scriptures of Islam, it is ordered to fight the infidels until Islam dominates the world, period, full stop. This too, by the way, was taught to me as a little girl, as it was to my friends, as it was to every Muslim who went to a school in the Middle East. And there is a simple reason for this. They are at war with you, and their children, along with your children, are their new army. The war against the non-believers is a timeless war, as it is borderless, and it will never stop until Islam wins. And you believing or not believing this does not change it, and it will certainly not make it stop. So it's better to begin understanding the reality that is currently facing us instead of labeling and smearing each other as conspiracy theorists. Because right now, you need the help of people like myself, even if you don't like it. This podcast by Sam Harris, What the Jihadis Really Want, it helps to sound the alarm, and it's the reason that I and others like myself are speaking out and trying to wake you up, to warn you that your politicians are all behaving like Neville Chamberlain. This time, it's not just one leader, it's the majority of your political class who are enriching themselves with dirty money while they destroy your countries and sacrifice your families. They lie to you and they know exactly what it is that they are doing. The current conflict in the Western world has nothing to do with race or grievances. For some people who are suckered to join this mob, they are just unknowing victims being used as props. The current chaos in Western societies is very much intentional. For the leftist authoritarians who wear the cloak of security and safety, it is purely about corruption. For the Islamists and the foreign entities, it is about one thing and one thing only, and that thing is chaos, causing as much chaos and confusion in your society and burning it to the ground from within. Like the current senior cleric of the Muslim Brotherhood who's living in Qatar said, "We will conquer Europe and we will conquer America, not through the sword, but through da'wah." Those people burning your cities and defunding the police, that's your da'wah.